So we continue our fellowship in 1 John, these wonderful four verses that our brothers had us read today. That which was from the beginning.
Amen.
Yeah, to know the ending, it's good to come back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because the beginning here, as we saw this morning and in the spring conference, is the first coming of the Lord. And all the basic elements of life that's there in the Gospel of John is now here in the epistles of John. And in the Gospel of John is the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ as life to us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
He came as the Word of Life in John 1. Eternal life in John 3. Water of life in John 4. Bread of life in John 6. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
In John 10. He is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
In John 11. And he is the truth, the way, and the life in John 14. So in case you don't get the main point of the book of John. So the question this morning that I have for all of you here is, why did the Lord come as life? Why is life so important? Because we were dead.
Yeah.
That's right. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead in the eyes of God. When a person is dead, nothing else matters. A dead person doesn't need good teaching, a good suggestion, recommendation. He needs regeneration.
Right?
He needs to be born again.
Yeah. Amen.
Born of God.
Amen.
He needs to have a new life. Mm-hmm. And so, as we see in our gospel presentation recently in Romans 5, verse 12, says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. This one man here we know was Adam. Mm-hmm. And thanks to him, we all got infected. This virus is called sin. And sin, it says here, enter the world. And sin is now in our flesh. And death through sin. And death spread to all men. So this was the first and the most lethal pandemic. And it comes with 100% infection rate. And 100% mortality rate. It says, all die. So the serpent must have thought, great, I won. Yeah. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read to you verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, again, this is Adam, by man, this now is a capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Wow. All shall be made. This is a good news. Yeah. It's not just for the gospel meeting, it's for us. Yeah. The first man, Adam, the second man is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So now with this second man, we all get a second chance in life.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
It's a do-over. Praise the Lord. Yeah. In my line of work, when clients are not happy with their glasses, we will make it for them the second time at no charge. And we call this process redo, right? A do-over. And recently in Fountain Valley, we saw from this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, which I will read it to you. It says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy," or the better translation is, "to undo the works of the devil."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So by this divine seed of life within all of us, God will be able to get rid of this infection of sin in our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he can undo all the damages done by the devil in us.
Amen.
Yeah. This is such a wonderful promise.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, we are a new creation.
Amen.
Right? We can now put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
This is really amazing what life is able to do. 1 John 2 says the life was manifested. The life of God, as we have seen, was embodied in this person, Jesus Christ. But by the time John wrote these epistles, this life was also fully manifested to John and to all the apostles who were with him. They have experienced this eternal life. And it's no longer just a knowledge to them, but they are bearing witnesses to us. They have the evidence and the real proof that this life is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been working in them, and this life really works.
Amen.
It truly works.
Amen.
Yeah. So the epistles of John is the proof, the result, the evidence of this life that's manifested in the Lord and now is manifested to John and to all those who were with him, all the apostles. So now we see, as our brother mentioned earlier, it's no longer just the objective knowledge of life as a teaching and a doctrine. Yes, this eternal life is now bearing fruit.
Amen.
In John. Yeah, that's why John talks about fruit bearing. Abide in me and I in him.
Amen.
You will bear much fruit.
Amen.
Life can bear fruit. And this is a wonderful matter. You know, brothers like John and Peter, James, and even Paul, they're not superhumans. By all accounts, they were just ordinary, average people like us. Yeah, many of them were just fishermen. There's a tax collector and a physician. Right? George was a retired physician. And Paul was a tent maker. This life can perfect them.
Amen.
This life can also surely perfect us.
Amen.
Because the same life that was in them is also now in us.
Amen.
And today we are living in this age of maturity. The Lord is coming very soon, very soon. And the epistles of John is at the end of the Bible. It's time for all of us to see this life being manifested to us and to all the dear saints in Zion.
Amen.
It's our turn, yeah, to experience this life.
Amen.
Earlier, Stefan brought out the matter of declaring, and I want to touch on that. When the Lord Jesus came, he declared the Father to
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
John 1:18, I read it again to you. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Next, it's John's turn. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. In fact, this word declare, it's mentioned three times in these four verses. Yeah. Declaring is not by teaching. It's not by explaining. And it's not by me using the mic to speak a little bit louder.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you don't need life for that. You don't need experience for that. We declare not just with our mouth. We declare by the word lived out. So first, the Son declared the Father to us. And now John and the apostles are also declaring to us in exactly the same way that the Son declared the Father. And that is why Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
We need to live Christ.
Amen.
Let him be lived out of us.
Amen.
Yes. And so when the Word became flesh, dwelled among us, and going back to John 1:14, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father,
Amen.
Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Yeah. We beheld his glory. Glory is the expression of God himself.
Amen.
And this glory was first expressed by the only begotten of the Father.
Right?
And now, by this wonderful life of God dwelling inside of us, yeah, this same glory can also be expressed in the many begotten of the Father. Because his life in the glory lived out in me. Yeah, appreciate that song. It's very true. And it needs to be our experience, not just a song that we sing. Today, when people see us, what do they see? Do they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? Do they see the church is the house of the living God? Do they see the mystery of godliness?
Mm-hmm.
God manifest in the flesh. Yeah. Yes, we need to be, and we should be, holy as he is holy. We should be righteous as he is righteous.
Amen.
We should be pure as he is pure. And we should walk as he walked. Yeah. This is how we declare, and this is how to manifest God's glory. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. This is the true declaration. So this is not the Declaration of Independence on this July 4th. This is the declaration of our full dependence on oneness with our living God.
Right.
Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He abides in us, we abide in Him.
Amen.
And this is how the Son glorifies the Father. And this is also how we can glorify the Father and the Son. So, unto Him be glory in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship, yes. Life brings us into this fellowship, which is this main point that John is writing to us here. John's desire is to bring us into this fellowship that the apostles have with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, how else are we going to know this living God? Unless we have constant fellowship with Him. Uninterrupted fellowship with Him. Yeah. John did. And that is why he could tell us that God is life.
Amen.
He didn't get that from teaching. He got that from his fellowship with the Father. And he tells us God is light. God is love. Because he has fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the more we have fellowship with the Father, the more life we will have. The more fellowship we have the Father, the more light we will have. The more fellowship we have the Father and the Son, the more love we will have. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he was always in fellowship with the Father. He didn't say anything, nor did anything on his own accord. This is the kind of fellowship that John is talking about here. Right? I used to wonder when I read the Gospel of John, why did the Lord always describe this relationship and fellowship that he has with the Father in detail? Why? Now I realize it's because he wants all of us to have this same fellowship. Exactly the same way as he has with the Father. So that the Father's life abides in us and we abide in him. Yeah. So we don't say anything he doesn't want us to say. We don't do anything he doesn't want us to do. And we don't go anywhere he doesn't want us to go. Because we are in fellowship with him. Even when John, the apostle, was on the island of Patmos, he was not alone. He was with the Father and with the Son.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know this? He told us in Revelation 1:9. Mm-hmm. Right? I was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God.
Okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul experienced exactly the same fellowship. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Yes. How wonderful to have such a fellowship. This is exactly what God wanted all along when he created man. So, think about this. Once we were dead in trespasses and sins, now we sinners, saved by grace, can have access through Christ, by the Spirit, to the Father, and we can have fellowship with the living God. This is mind-boggling. This is really amazing. Yeah. Our Father's desire is not just to have fellowship with his firstborn son. He wants to have fellowship with all of his children who are born of God.
Amen.
Amen. In John's case, it was all 13 of them. In our Heavenly Father's case is with all of us. He wants to have fellowship with us. Yeah. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. So John also writes that our joy can be made full. Right? Our joy comes from our fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. God is happy. We are happy. Our joy is made full when this eternal life is being expressed and lived out in all the dear saints. And this is what Peter says. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes. Paul also says that we should be a full-grown, perfect man in Ephesians 4:13. That we would grow up to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yes. And Paul says in Philippians 4:1, the saints are his joy and crown. Wow. Marvelous. Yes. Yeah, we need to know the Lord. And today there are two ways to know the Lord. As it was brought up, the first is by the tree of life, and the other is by the tree of knowledge. And just because we know this in doctrine and teaching, of course, it doesn't mean that we're actually eating from the tree of life.
Yeah.
I use myself as an example. I grew up in the church. Yeah. John, 60 years, me, 40 years. For the first part of my Christian life, 20 years, I had some what they call very good teaching. The teaching in the meeting was on the experience of life, knowledge of life, life study. There's an oxymoron there. Is it life or is it study? You can't. I have a hybrid, you know. Yeah. A lot of study.
It's a low grid.
Yeah, yeah, low grid. There was a lot of studying, reading, training, testing, memorizing, repeating, prophesying, and more training. It's never ending. It really is the definition of the tree of knowledge. How do we know this? Look at the evidence and the result and the manifestation. It's death. Yeah. Numbers may be increasing, life is decreasing. Yeah. When we have the life of the Lord within us, we have a discernment and a sense of life. And some of us sense something was wrong. Yeah. Something was fishy. That was this is the smell of death. And among Christians today, this system of explaining starts from baptism. Imagine, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch, hey, there's water, I want to get baptized. And Philip says, no, no, I need to have a talk with you. So, only a pastor who graduates from the theological seminaries can explain the Bible to you. And if you want to serve the Lord, go to Bible school to study. And you start as a youth pastor and a visiting pastor, associate pastor, and finally you reach the coveted position of a senior pastor. And then you have become a professional. Yeah, congratulations, you made it. But you're finished. Done. This is the traditional way to know him.
Then you retired.
Yeah, that's right. Then you retired. So here is Paul's way to know him in Philippians 3:10. Mm-hmm. That I may know him.
Amen.
Amen. And the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes. Here is that word, fellowship, again. Christ's suffering became Paul's suffering. Christ's death became Paul's death. That's true fellowship. You know, today when we say, let's have some fellowship, it really means let's have some discussion or a chat or some talk. Let's sit down and have a chat. Okay, I don't think Paul wanted to have a chat about the sufferings of Christ. No, he wanted to partake of his sufferings.
Amen.
He wants to partake of his death.
Amen.
Yeah, Peter says we may be partakers of his divine nature. So to know him is simply to eat and to drink his word as spirit and life.
Amen.
To know him is to partake of all of his substance and riches into our being. And to know him is to feed on him, as we read in John 6, that we might live by him.
Amen.
Yeah. So to know God is really precious.
Amen.
If we truly know God as life, we would be living.
Amen.
Yeah. We would not be so easily discouraged by outward circumstances.
Amen.
Pandemic, whatever. It really wouldn't bother you because we have the life of the Lord within us. Right? 1 John 2:25 says, this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Eternal life is very precious because this is God's life. And eternal life is not for the future. This is what many Christians say, oh, I can live forever. No, eternal life is for us now.
Yeah. Amen.
Today. Yeah. May the Lord give us all a fresh appreciation of this wonderful eternal life.
Amen.
Our God never breaks his promise. Right? What he promises, he always delivers. So we are believers of God's promise. So the bottom line is life works. Yeah? Life is able to change us, to renew us, to renew our mind, to overcome the world, to overcome the wicked one. Life is able to keep his commandments and love the brothers. So let's continue to feed this eternal life within by eating the tree of life. Yeah. And may this eternal life bear fruit in each one of us.
Amen.
And may all the churches in Zion be fruitful.
Amen.
That our Heavenly Father may be glorified. Yeah.
Amen.
Lastly, I just end with this these two verses. Maybe we could all turn to it and read it together. In Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Amen.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations.
Praise the Lord. So what was in Genesis? It's in Revelation. Yes. The tree of life and the water of life. So John gave us a foretaste of what this eternal life will be in the New Jerusalem. May we really appreciate this wonderful life that the Lord has given to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the tree of life.
Amen.
First of all, I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here live.
Amen.
We may, you may all not realize, but to be on the screen or to be here is not the same. And I really thank the Lord for this time opportunity we have. And also I want to thank the Lord that it's been now last week, 40 years marriage we have been celebrating, and I couldn't imagine a better place to celebrate our 40th anniversary of our marriage than being here. So praise the Lord for that. And I really thank the Lord also that he's opening our eyes about the difference, which is tremendous, between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because sometimes, and I have seen over the years within the local churches, sometimes the words coming out may be absolutely right, but there's no life. So it's not even just among right or wrong teaching. It's about life or death. And the source where the word is coming out is actually the important factor. So yes, the word has to be right. What we speak to people in the meeting has to be right. However, it doesn't mean because it's right, there is life. Because whoever speaks the word is actually transmitting life or not, depending on your, my life. And I was very touched by the example of Mary. Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord, listening to him. And she was actually eating the right food. Martha was preparing physical food and being busy. But Mary was there listening to the Lord, eating every word coming out of his mouth.
Amen.
That is really what I want to live. And that's my experience also. It is so precious to just be at the Lord's feet and hear, but not only hear, eat. And we all eat physically every day, because we know if we don't eat, we're going to be in trouble. But spiritually speaking, eating the Lord, eating him is so vital. It's not just important, it is vital. If I don't spend qualitative time every day with my Lord, sometimes locking the door in my room or going on the beach or in the forest or wherever in a park, and spending qualitative time with him, eating his word, eating everything from him, my Christian life will not be sustainable. I will not survive the tremendous attacks from the enemy coming and every day coming in my life, in my daily life. So I really praise the Lord for the beginning of this conference, that we are again coming back to the very basic elements. It's about life. And life is not about understanding it. It's not about studying it. It's about eating. And we need to eat the Lord. The Lord was so clear in John 6. So many disciples left. They left. They got offended. Why are you talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood? What kind of cannibalism are you? They left. Praise the Lord, some stayed. And I really praise the Lord that we are still here.
Yeah.
And it is precious.
Yeah.
We're on Zoom. We are physically here. There's a blessing to be physically here, I repeat, but we are all here. And that's really wonderful. And it's a blessing from the Lord to give us this hunger. Lord, I want more of you. I don't want to know so much about you. I want more of you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. never exhaust the word of God.
Yeah.
Right? People say, well, again, again. No, thank you, that's okay. Well, how often do you eat breakfast every day? The same thing, right? The same wonderful coffee you drink. But again, again and again. Well, because it is something organic, something alive, fresh and living.
It's good.
Right? And every day it tastes just as wonderful, fresh. And if it's fresh, it's always wonderful. This is the same principle with our experience with Christ. When I was having acupuncture last week, when I was in Mountain View, I was lying there and 30 needles we put into my body. 30 needles. So what did I do there lying? I was eating first John. Praise the Lord, that's good. I just want to let you know. Much better than 30 needles.